All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, I just want to welcome you, as Jason said, and then also just introduce myself. My name is Chris Hahn, the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we're in the middle of this conversation called Restoring Relationships. And we're looking at how we can begin to interact with time and energy in such a way that it will allow us to love well. Understanding that loving well requires both time and energy. These two things that we are unbelievably limited in, and yet it seems that our relationships are constantly just asking more and more and more and more of these limited assets of time and energy. So how do we do that? And last week we began and we started off looking at this idea of rest and how we can begin to interact with rest in such a way that it's not something that we have to overcome. It's not something that we have to conquer, but something that can actually be an investment in our ability to love. An investment in how we're going to be able to love that person that we've identified, that we're trying to love well. And from the beginning of this conversation, I asked you to identify one relationship, one person that you are going to try to love well. And I want to kind of bring that back to your mind for you today, because as we walk through today, I want you to walk through it in the context of identifying that person. Okay, and how can I apply what we're going to be talking about today specifically to that one relationship or that one person? And so if you weren't here 2 weeks ago when we asked you to do that, then I'd ask you to do that now. I'd invite you into that with us as we walk through this today, because what we're going to be talking through over the next few weeks is not something that you're going to be able to take and begin to put into place in all of your relationships. But it is something that you can probably begin to put into place in one and then allow that to begin to bleed into the others as well. And so who is that person in your life? Who is it that you, if you could identify one person, one relationship that you want to identify, that, man, and maybe you're doing a good job of loving, but you want to do a great job of loving this person. And maybe it's your significant other. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. I don't know who it is, but identify one person that you're going to begin applying these principles with. And then as we walk through the day, kind of allow that to be the context in which we have this conversation. And as I said last week, I think a lot of our ability to love begins with this idea of rest and embracing rest. And so I asked you, how did it go? How did it go this past week? Were you able to rest well? There's a little nervousness in the crowd because everyone's like, and then if you're like me, and I know some of you are, right? You're football fans. And the greatest enemy to rest for those of us who live on the East Coast is football. Because you have Sunday night football, then you have Monday night football, and then now you have this unbelievably wonderful thing called Thursday night football, and all of these games start at like 8:30 at night, so they're ending at midnight, and they just, and so I find myself, and I'm going into the game, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna apply what I talked about on Sunday, and I'm going to rest well. So the game begins, and I'm gonna go to bed at halftime. At halftime, I'm gonna go to bed. I'll just watch the first half, just kind of see how the fantasy points are playing out, and then that will tell me how it's going to go for the rest of the game. I'll be able to go to bed, and I'll be fine. Halftime comes, and the fantasy points aren't working out how I thought they're going to work out. I'm like, well, I'll see how they begin in the third quarter, right? And so this past week, the guy I was going up against, his running back got injured in the first half, and I'm like, well, is he going to come back in the second half? I have to stay and watch to find out. Is he going to come back? And then he did and had like a 30-yard touchdown run, and I was depressed, and so I couldn't sleep because I was depressed. It's just this unbelievable enemy to rest, and there's all these things that just seem to come up where man, I want to rest, to invest in loving it, but it's difficult. And if you're like me today, you're probably looking back on the past week, and I look back at my past week, I'm like, well, okay, I did better, but I'm not where I want to be. And that's okay. This is a journey. This isn't something that we're going to be able to figure out overnight. And my challenge to you as we come today, as we continue moving forward in this conversation, is to keep working on it. Don't allow these principles that we're talking about to just simply be something that you focus on for 1 week, and then that one's gone, and then we got the next one, we're going to focus on that for 1 week, and then that one's gone. But to keep these things in front of you.
These are habits that you're going to begin to establish that will allow you to love well. And so this week, let's see, can you be a little bit better? Can you grow? Can you build on last week? And then beyond that, as we look at this week, I want to introduce another principle. And again, it goes back to my struggles. And one of the things that I struggle with, because I don't just struggle with rest, I also struggle just in general with this whole idea of loving well. And this idea of in some way, shape, or form, planning out how I'm going to love well. Because there's something inside of me that says that it should just come naturally. There's something inside of me that says that this is just supposed to work out, that it's just supposed to fall in place, that this is just part of how life works, and if you just kind of go with the flow, in the moment, you're going to find the right moment, you're going to be able to love well in the right moment, it's just going to be beautiful, everything's going to work out, everything's going to work out where I can love the way that I want to love. And I call this lie, because I believe it is a lie, I call this lie the sitcom lie. Because we all grew up watching sitcoms, and in those sitcoms, you can make whatever decision you want and make like terrible decisions, great decisions, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. All of it's going to work out in 30 minutes. In 30 minutes, everything's going to be great. And so everything could fall apart. The relationship could fall apart, but the right moment is going to present itself inside the next 30 minutes where everything is going to be able to come together and you're going to be able to love the way that you want to love. It's all going to work out, and Ross and Rachel are going to live happily ever after. Right? It's just all going to work out. In the end, it's all going to work out. It's just natural. You just go with the flow. And as the moment presents itself, you take advantage of the moment. And there's something inside of me that thinks this is how love is supposed to work. But my life doesn't. And I find myself walking through this just thinking, you know what? I'm just gonna take advantage of the moment and it's just gonna kind of present itself and I'm gonna be able to love my kids the way that I wanna love my kids. I'm gonna love my wife the way that I love my wife. But here's the thing about my life, and I don't know if my life's anything like your life. The moment never actually comes. And all of a sudden I find myself a week later and I'm like, man, I really didn't do anything to love my wife this past week, or I really didn't do very much to love my kids this past week, or I really didn't, you know, I still haven't called that friend, or I still haven't, and it just seems like life just keeps moving, and those moments that supposedly are supposed to be there, they never actually show up. And so sometimes I'll find myself weeks, months later, and it's like, man, I haven't done anything, really, to love this person well. And for me, I think it goes back to this lie, this sitcom lie, that man, it's just going to work out. It's supposed to be natural. And I think it shows up in all sorts of different relationships inside of our culture where we just think it's going to be natural. I think it the number one place where it shows up is in our relationship with our significant other. We just think, man, it's just going to fall in place. Everything's going to work out. You're naturally going to love one another. I mean, you fall in love. It's just going to fall in place. We think it's supposed to be natural, but not just in that relationship. We also think it's supposed to be natural the way that we love our kids. And so oftentimes I'll have conversations with parents and they're struggling and they're trying to figure out how they can love their kids better. And inside of them, even in the midst of the conversation, I can tell that one of the things that they're really struggling with is the fact that they feel like, man, what's wrong with me? This is supposed to be natural. This is supposed to just happen. Aren't you supposed to just know how to love your kids? Aren't you supposed to just know how to love your husband? Aren't you just supposed to know how to take care of your kids? There's a blog that I love, and she actually wrote a book recently. The name of the book is Motherhood Comes Naturally and Other Vicious Lies. I love it because I fight this battle, and so even on stage, I try to be able to be really transparent about my struggles as a parent and the things that I walk through as a parent, and the fact that, man, it's some of it is just really, really hard, and some of it is really, really unnatural. And I love the blog, and I want to be able to get the book to be able to read through these things, because she just points out these areas where we believe this lie, and it just comes back to bite us. Right now, my wife and I are expecting our third, and people will always come up to me and say, hey, congratulations, this is awesome. And my response to them is always the same. We'll see. We'll see. And they're like, oh, yeah, 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 right, funny. Yeah, this is great. And I'm like, no, seriously, we'll see.
You know what I do for a living? I work with people. I know the chances of this thing turning out well is not good. Right? We'll see. And then, you know, I'll live. They'll probably live. The chances are a little lower, but they'll probably live. But the fact that they're going to turn out healthy and the fact that they're going to be able to grow up into a person who knows how to love well, man, the chances are not good. We'll see. And it's interesting because as we walk into relationships, so often we think, man, it's just going to come natural. I'm going to know what to be able to do. The moment's going to present itself. And we think that we live in this TV sitcom world. But here's the thing, guys. It's not real. Life doesn't actually work that way. At least my life doesn't. And I'd be willing to bet that yours doesn't either. And here's the thing. When you go to the scriptures are filled with stories of people's lives who didn't work that way either. I mean, it's just story after story after story after story after story after story after story of people whose lives are just messed up and screwed up and blown up. People just like you and me where love just didn't come naturally. And things didn't just fall into place. And everything didn't just work out. And everything wasn't just resolved in 30 minutes. So what do we do? And as I said from the beginning of this conversation, I said one of the things that we're trying to do in here is we're trying to be able to look at the example of Jesus Christ. And we're trying to look at how he interacted with his limited time and energy and his mission of loving well, and then be able to look at our own lives and say, okay, how do we learn from how he loved well so that we can in turn love well? And I think when you look at this reality that man, things don't just fall into place, that we're just not naturally going to be able to do this. And if you don't believe me about this, let me just give you one more example. Because every time a couple comes through premarital counseling with me, I ask them to do this just so that they can see just how ingrained this idea is in our culture and the way that we look at relationships and our ability to be able to love the people around them. So I ask them to do this for me every single time. I ask all of the couples to be able to add up for me all of the time that they've spent preparing for their career, whatever that may be. How many years of your life have you been in formal education to be able to prepare for what you do? And the truth is, from the time that you start kindergarten, all the way through high school, college, now some of you went to college for something else than what you currently do, but college, our master's degree, we spend years and years and years and years of our lives being trained for what will eventually be our career. To be able to somehow operate inside the workforce in a way where we're going to be able to be productive and to be able to provide for our families. We spend years being trained for this. The numbers sometimes inside those counseling sessions is just phenomenal. How many years of people's lives have been spent preparing them for what they're going to do with their career. And then I just ask them to add up one more number for me. Now just tell me. Forget about the years thing, because it's not even going to come close to years. Just tell me how many hours you've spent preparing to be in a relationship. How many hours of formal training you've had preparing you to be able to be in a relationship? Usually, you can count it on one hand. Why does it surprise us that we're awful at loving well? See, our culture is bought into this idea that you don't have to be trained for that. It just comes natural. And sometimes I'll talk to people in this conversation and they'll say to me, well, I mean, you're supposed to learn that from your parents. But here's the thing about your parents. For many of you, you look at your parents and say, I don't want to learn that. But then even for those of you who look at your parents and say, you know what, I want to be like that. Here's the thing. Over half of your parents' relationship, you never got to see.
at least half of it, you never got to see. And so sometimes I'll be in conversations with people and they'll have unrealistic expectations of what their relationship is going to look like or how their relationship is going to work out, because they look at their parents' relationship and all they got to see in their parents' relationship was the good side. Because all the struggles and the battles and the things that they had to work through, those were taken into another room. So the idea that you're just going to be able to learn about this or that you're going to be able to understand this from your parents, it doesn't make sense. But we've bought into this idea, it's just supposed to come natural. But it doesn't. So what do we do? I want to introduce to you a principle that I think was a huge part of Jesus Christ's life that speaks directly to this aspect and to this lie in our lives, this aspect of how we're going to love well. And that principle is this, the principle of intentionality. You see, I think if we're going to love well, we have to stop believing that it's going to come natural and we have to actually become intentional. Unbelievably intentional. And when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you see someone who looks at his limited time and energy, and rather than just saying, okay, I'm going to allow the moment to present itself, I'm going to just move through it moment by moment by moment and just hope that it works out the way that I want it to work out, hope that it works out in such a way that I'm going to be able to save the people that I want to save, that I'm going to be able to love the people that I want to love. Rather than just hoping that it's going to work out from the moment that Jesus Christ starts his ministry, and I would argue for thousands of years before that, but specifically from the moment that Jesus Christ starts his ministry to the time that he goes to that cross, he is living an unbelievably intentional plan of loving people. Unbelievably intentional plan of loving people. And when you read through his story, and you can read through his story in four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell the story of his life. As you read through his story, you're going to see this played out over and over and over again, where Jesus is making intentional decisions about how he's going to spend his time and who he's going to spend his time with. Why? Because he has a plan of how he's going to love well. He's not just going to allow it to come naturally. He's not just going to hope that it works out. No. He has a plan. I want to take you to two passages that I believe illustrate this. And the truth is we could go to all sorts of different passages throughout Jesus Christ's life. And for some of you, you've read through his story. For others of you, I encourage you, if you haven't read the Bible yet, just pick it up. I know some of you are here and you're like, I don't really believe the Bible. I'm not going to read the Bible. Nobody, you don't read any book because you believe it. No one picks up a book and is like, you know what? I believe all of this book. I'm going to read it now. No one reads anything for that reason. And so I challenge you, even if you don't believe it, pick it up and read through the story of Jesus Christ. See how he lives. See how he intentionally loves. I would argue that he intentionally loves you the very same way, even if you don't believe in him. But pick it up, read through his story. As you read through his story, you're going to see this person who is executing an unbelievable plan of how he's not only going to love the people around him, but how he's going to love us even here today. Intentionally loving people. I want to take you to a couple of these passages. The first one's found in Mark chapter 9, verse 30 through 31. And this is one of those times where you see him intentionally disengage from one group of people in order to be able to love another. Mark chapter 9, 30 through 31, it says, "Leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them." Now this was something that if you were with Jesus Christ and as you're watching his ministry explode, this is one of the things that you would have really struggled with, because Jesus does this all the time, where he has unbelievable opportunity to be able to love thousands and thousands of people, to be able to speak to thousands and thousands of people. But rather than doing that, he has a plan. And so he intentionally disengages from the crowd in order to spend time with the 12. And not only does he do it in situations like this, where he disengages from the crowd in order to spend time with the 12, but then as you read through his story, you find out that in the 12, there are three in particular that he wanted to love more, that he wanted to invest in more. And so Peter, James, and John are often taken aside outside of the 12, and he spends specifically more time with them than with anyone else alive. And he invests in them, and he builds into them. And consistently, you're seeing him make these intentional decisions of who he's going to spend his time with and how he's going to spend that time in order to be able to love them well, in order to be able to love both you and I well in the grand scheme of things. And so he's consistently pulling Peter, James, and John aside because these are going to be the ones who lead the church as the church begins to expand. As the church begins to grow, you see this intentional use of time. His disciples picked up on this. Listen to this passage in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, John, who is one of the three who is closest to Christ, is telling the story of Jesus Christ's life. As he's telling the story, he talks about the woman at the well. Now, some of you know the story of the woman at the well. For those of you who don't, Jesus actually travels through Samaria, an area where Jews normally wouldn't travel through at all. And he meets this woman, and in this conversation with her, he not only loves her, not only does he reach her, but he actually reaches an entire village. And this entire village trusts in him as the Messiah. And Jesus, as he's beginning this journey to meet this woman, listen to how John tells the story, because I think it speaks to his understanding of just how intentional Jesus Christ was. John chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. Jesus' popularity is growing, and so he's going to leave Judea, and he's going to go to Galilee. So it says, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee. Now, normally, everyone would travel around Samaria. And I'm sure that as they began this journey, the disciples talked to Jesus and said, okay, so let's go this way. And Jesus said, no, I have to go this way. And I love the way that John phrases it, because I think he's calling us to this intentionality in Jesus' life. It says, he had to go through Samaria on the way. Not we, but there's something about it. In the conversation, I don't know how Jesus impressed it upon them, but somehow he's like, no, guys, listen, I have to go this way. Why do you have to go that way? And as the story unfolds, you realize that he didn't tell them ahead of time what was about to happen, but he knew there was someone there that he wanted to love. And he had a plan. And so he intentionally decides to go this direction in order to love her, in order to reach that village. And throughout his story, you see it over and over and over and over again. There is nothing left to chance. There is no, I hope this works out. It is an unbelievably intentional plan of how he will love people. And I believe that if we want to love well, we have to do the same. And I don't know if you understand this or not, but you and I have been born into a story of intentional love. Not, I hope this works out love, but intentional love. Our very existence is the result of an intentional plan to love. And so God expands his family, and he creates us to be part of this family. Not because, well, I just hope that I'll be able to love them, but because he has an intentional plan of how he will love us. And then even when we step out of that relationship, even when we reject him, immediately there is a plan of how he will restore us back to him. When Jesus Christ goes to that cross, it is not the result of the right moment and the right time that just happened to present itself. This is the result of an intentional plan to win you back that has been perfectly executed for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. And God decided that he wanted you to know him. And he didn't just hope that it would work out. He didn't just hope that the right moment would present itself. He began to put a plan in motion, an intentional plan of how he would love you and how he would win you back. If we want to love well, we have got to leave behind the lie that it's just going to naturally work out, and we have got to become unbelievably intentional. We have to embrace our limitations. We have to understand we have a limited amount of time and we have a limited amount of energy. And so we have to look at the road that God has put us on and ask ourselves the question, okay, with my time and energy, how am I going to use this intentionally to be able to love as best as I possibly can those that God has placed in my life? We have to become intentional. Now, how do you do that? I want to give you 4 steps today. As you walked in, inside your program, there's a little notes card. I want to ask you to answer 4 questions for me this week. 4 things. And even if you're not going to do it, even if you're sitting there saying, I'm not going to do this, just write them down so that if you change your mind at some point during the week, you can go back to them. 4 things that I want you to do. The first thing, if you're going to begin to love intentionally, the first thing that you absolutely positively have to do is that you have to identify the roles that are most crucial. Who is it that you need to love? And for most of you, hopefully you've already identified the one person that you're going to begin working on. The one relationship that you're trying to work through inside this conversation as we walk through this series. And so hopefully that's the first one that you write down. You know, okay, I want to work on this one. But then I think you need to work through the rest of your life. Who are the people that you need to love? Who are the people that you want to love? And so you write down your significant other. I think the first person, for those of us who are in this relationship with Jesus Christ, the first person that we want to love is we want to love God. The next person, we write down our significant other, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. If you have kids, write down your kids. You have your coworkers that you want to love, your friends that you want to love, your extended family that you want to love, your dinner group that you want to love. Who are the people that you want to love? Write them down. And then I don't want you to just write down generic relationships, but I want you to specifically name them. Put the names down. And you don't have, this is going to take you a little bit of time, so this isn't necessarily something you're going to be able to work through right here on Sunday morning, but I want you to write down, you need to name them. And then here's the tough one, okay? And I know for some of you, you're going to really, really struggle with this. You need to prioritize them. Rank them. I can tell from a lot of your faces, you're sitting there thinking, this ain't right. Here's the thing. Jesus did it. He had 12. He chose 3. Said, you 3? I like you more. Now, that's not necessarily true. It wasn't necessarily that he liked them more, but he decided. He chose them. He said, you 3? And this is really what he did. I'm going to love you more. I'm going to invest in you more. I'm going to spend more time with you. Jesus did it. You're still looking at me like I'm crazy. You can't win this fight. You can't win this argument. You need to prioritize them. Now, if you're a parent and you have multiple kids, I wouldn't suggest like prioritizing them, okay? Just give them all a 3, okay? And this is one of the things that we ask parents to do inside the child dedication. One of the commitments that they make is that they're going to prioritize relationships. And so I'm going to place my relationship with God first. I'm going to place my relationship with my spouse second. I'm going to place my relationship with my kids third. We ask them to do this. Why? Because we believe in intentional love. Not what we like to call spontaneous, but I think would be better described as accidental love. So you need to prioritize them. The next thing that you need to do is you need to ask yourself this question. What will it take for me to love these people well? Specifically as it pertains to time and energy. How much time does it take for you to love this person well?
Does it take time weekly? Does it take time monthly? Does it take time yearly? How much time does it take for you to be able to love this person well? And again, this is going to take you a little bit of time to work through this process, but you need to ask the question, how much energy does it take? Is there growth that needs to happen in order for me to be able to love this person well? What does it take? I've walked through this exercise. As you begin to do this, it can become unbelievably overwhelming. Because as you look at the amount of time that begins to break out as you go down that sheet, you begin to realize, I don't have that much time. I don't have that much energy. So what do? And one of the most difficult things, I believe, in our pursuit of loving well, is realizing that in some situations, we're going to have to make the decision that we just can't love the way that we wish we could in every situation. And that's okay. And if you struggle with that, as you're working through that list and you're looking at that amount of time, you're thinking, man, I can't do this. There's just so much time. I don't have that much time. I would encourage you, go back and read through the story of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, over and over and over again, makes the decision, I can't love everybody the way I wish that I could. And so he walks away from thousands and thousands and thousands of people to spend time with 12. He walks away from 9 to spend time with 3. And I would guarantee you that there were people around him who said, I can't believe you're doing that. I can't believe you're doing that. You're abandoning these people. These people need to be healed. Why aren't you healing these people? But he knew, I'm limited. I'm limited. I can't love everyone the way that I wish that I could. Andy Stanley, when he talks about this, he says, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And as you look down that list, you're going to realize, you know what, I can't be the friend that I wish that I could be to all of my friends. And you're going to have to make a decision. But if you don't make the decision, if you just allow the moment to present itself, well, it's just going to work its way out, then here's what I've found. In the end, you'll love no one. And Jesus decided that rather than just going at it and in the end loving no one, that he was becoming intentional, that he was going to become unbelievably intentional so that he could ensure that he loved the ones that God had sent him to love, to execute this plan. Who are the people? What is the time that's required? And the next thing is, you need to schedule by priority. And so as you look at your calendar, you need to sit down with that list and you need to schedule. You need to schedule that time with your wife. You need to schedule that time with your kids. One of the things that Anna's really pushing me on, and she's absolutely right on this, something that we've got to build in as our kids are beginning to grow up, is that we want to begin to establish date times with our kids. Times where it's just Anna and Caden, or it's just me and Caden, it's just me and Kale, or whatever we're going to name the third one, who knows, right? And it's just me and this specific time where we're intentionally setting aside time to be able to love these kids. And we've watched parents who've done it, and we've seen the results of it, and it's phenomenal. But we want to become intentional about that, not just hoping that it presents itself, not just hoping that it works out, but intentionally loving our kids. And I know when you begin to do this, there's something inside of you that says, no, love is supposed to be spontaneous. It's just supposed to explode in the moment.
It's like we've been watching too many Cialis commercials, and it's just supposed to explode in the moment. You know, it's not supposed to be planned. And I'm sorry for those of you who just got really uncomfortable, all right? I didn't use the joke at the first service, but it's just been in my mind the whole time. It fits perfectly. But it's supposed to, right? It's just supposed to be natural. It's supposed to be spontaneous. This whole plan thing, it just destroys the whole feeling of it. One of my favorite movies of all time is the movie called The Notebook. How many of you have ever seen it? First of all, it's not that funny that it's my favorite movie of all time. Okay? For those of you who haven't seen it, which is quite a few based upon the numbers of hands, unless some of you were just embarrassed to raise your hands, I'm about to ruin it for you. Okay? I'll just give you the heads up, but it's been 10 years. It's ridiculous that you haven't seen the movie yet. And so I don't feel bad about it at all. I love this movie. And inside the movie, there are two things that are playing out at the very same time. And so you're watching Noah and Allie fall in love, and you're seeing the spontaneous love as they're falling in love with one another, and you're seeing this life that they're living together as they're trying to get together and everything that goes into that. But at the same time, you're seeing this all in the context of Noah as he's reading to Allie at a nursing home. And Allie has lost her memory of who he is, has lost her memory of how they fell in love, has lost her memory of all of those moments that were spontaneous and beautiful. I think they won best kiss for this movie, right? It's in the rain, and it's just incredible. And sometimes we look back on those, we're like, man, that's what love is. But here's the thing about The Notebook, and I think almost all of us know it. The greatest love in that story is not the spontaneous moments. The greatest love in that story is the intentional love of Noah as he shows up day after day after day to read to his wife who no longer remembers who he is. It is a lie that the spontaneous is better. And the truth is, when you begin to schedule, when you begin to become intentional about loving, I believe that you will find that the spontaneous actually begins to blossom inside your relationship. It grows because you're intentionally loving well. And when you're intentionally loving well, all of a sudden, the other opportunities to build on that, they just grow. Don't buy into the lie that it's supposed to be natural, it's supposed to be spontaneous, and if it was that way, it would be better. It's not true. Be intentional. Schedule it in. Plan how you're going to love well. And then number four, execute relentlessly. Relentlessly. Do not allow anything to take the place of that plan. The greatest demonstration of love that the world has ever seen is when Jesus Christ went to that cross. That was not spontaneous. That was intentional. That was planned for you and for me. If we want to love well with our limited time and energy, then we must learn from Jesus Christ. We must become intentional. You can love those around you the way that you want to. But it's going to require a plan. It's going to require intentionality. And it's going to require us to relentlessly execute that plan, to love well. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at the relationships that you've given us, and as we look at
this world that we live in where we're just so connected now. It's so easy for us to have so many different relationships and be part of so many different people's lives. And yet when we come to this point where we have to get intentional about loving people, all of a sudden it puts us in situations where we have to make difficult decisions. And Father, I pray that rather than seeing this as something that's limiting us, that we would begin to understand that what happens when we begin to interact with you on this is that it begins to free us. Because we know who you've called us to love, and we know that we are intentionally carrying that out. And we trust you to be able to care for and to be able to be there in those moments when we can't be, like your son trusted you as he walked away from that crowd. Father, I pray that as we walk into this week, I pray that we would take the time to walk through this and not just walk through it alone, but that we would walk through it with you and to ask this question, okay, God, who do you want me to love well? What will it take? How do you want me to put that into practice? And then we would begin to execute that, Father. So that those around us could experience what we've experienced. The result of intentional, beautiful, intentional love. In Jesus' name, amen.